So today we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week, if you weren't here. So one thing about this church, if you're just joining us today, we're not necessarily traditional or liturgical, not that those things are really bad. And what I mean by that is today I'm not going to preach, you know, through the Holy Week. We're going to continue on with what the Lord's leading us through, and I think it really goes together. We won't have a Good Friday service. Someone had asked, David asked me about that, but we will have Easter service next week. Today, we have set up an opportunity to take communion, and so one thing that we prayed about is sometimes that might be the focus of the message. Other times, it's always going to be a focus of worship, right? So really, any time within a worship service, when the Spirit just really calls you, it's really appropriate to go and take communion, go to the Lord's table, and remember what Jesus did, what his blood did, and what his body did. Also, at the end, another good time is at the end of this, we'll play the sermon, we'll play a few more songs and kind of a time to reflect and celebrate. And so it's an option for worship for you. So just so you know, that's there, and we're not going to pass that around. So as you feel moved to do that, do that. We don't pass offering plates. We have our baskets here. We trust that the Lord will provide and support the ministry and pay the bills, and he does, through the hearts of his followers, his believers. So we do that. Another thing is baptism, and I'll just put this out there, not to be tricky. I wonder if I really feel praying this week and preparing, going through this, that there's some people here who've probably been involved in church for a while and have really been, or maybe they've been away from that for a while, and I just feel like there's some people holding back that God's been calling, like, step forward, make that profession of what you believe in baptism. And so wouldn't that be cool? Today, I'll ask you at the end of this, but wouldn't that be cool to be baptized on Easter Sunday? So we got the hot tub over there. We would fill it up. It would be a blast if the Lord so moves. But I wanted to just put that out there directly. That might be you. It's stirring in your heart. Like, I've been putting it off. I don't know about all that. And maybe God will move in that today. Maybe he won't. But let me, before we get back into Scripture, let's just stop a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, I worship you. I'm your servant, Lord. Imperfect as we might be, here we are before you, Lord. I ask you to teach us from what you wrote, what you said, and what you inspired the other brothers and sisters to speak. And when we just long to be more like you, to worship you, to follow you, to be transformed into your likeness and your image. I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. So we've been through 1 John praying about this. I've been going very slowly on purpose, and something Brandy and I talk a lot about in our house is we're like, man, there's this rush that it feels, right? Like you take a book. We're going to do 1 John. We feel like God says that. So, okay, how long is that going to be? I don't know. We'll see what kind of rabbit trails the Holy Spirit takes us on, right? So lately, we stopped a moment last week, and we've talked about a few items that needed more revisiting. See, my job as I see it is to try to encourage or convince or persuade you to be worshipers of the one true God. And I want you to do that in spirit and truth, and I want you to show that you do that by loving your neighbor, which is loving God, right? Loving God, loving your neighbor as yourself. I want that to happen, and so I don't want to rush over this. My whole life, from now till Jesus takes me home, I want to be reminding people of what's already been written and said, and pray that the Holy Spirit will take that and give it the wings it needs to land on the hearts of people and change their minds. Now, when I do that, sometimes I get on this crazy journey with all the Scripture, and here's what happens. This is what I've seen the past couple of weeks with what I had to share for you. It's like drinking water from a fire hose. And that's kind of the look on some people's faces by the time that we're done. If that's what it feels like, I know, I'm sorry, so we'll keep revisiting. So we're not jumping back in to 1 John. I want to go back and then go forward. Fair enough? 1 John 2:12. One thing we talked about last week, if you weren't here, was this idea. We'd gone over this scripture a few weeks back, And 1 John was writing, in the letter of 1 John to believers. And he said amongst those believers, he identified three different groups. First of all, he said, my little children, my students, those students of John's who were students of Christ as John was a student of Christ. So everyone who had been saved and became a believer. Within that group of believers, he identified children, young adults, young men, and parents, fathers, mothers. So we talked a little bit about that. And one thing that we observed is this. First of all, interestingly enough, even those acting like children, which we could observe is a lot of back and forth, like being blown in the wind or rocked in the waves, that happens to Christians too. And it's part of the development. And then folks who are Christians, they get some truth. They overcome the evil one is what it said about young adults. Then the problem is they get overconfident in their knowledge of truth, right? They can become, they're so passionate, so zealous that they can be like overbearing in that. And they lack wisdom at times in favor of energy. And then you have parents who've been through stuff, who what John said, you know the one who's from the beginning. So the parents have been established through experience and truth over time with God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, right? And in them is a peace that makes no sense. And I liken it in terms of the culture I grew up in some kind of like Jedi Master or Ninja Master. They just know it's like they get that wax the fence will help you become a better, right? Like wax the car, paint the fence will help you become a karate master. The kid doesn't know it that it's happening to. And this is the idea of parenting. The kids don't always know what they need, and they need a parent to be there. There's a patience and understanding. So this is troublesome because some of us see ourselves, if we're honest, acting like children, right? Throwing a fit because we don't get the candy bar we want. Or one minute, you're the best God ever, right? It's kind of like your mom and dad, I love you so much. And the next minute, I hate you. I'm going to move out when I grow up and get married, right? So this is what happens when you're a child, and we do that with God too. So this idea that in the midst of any congregation or fellowship of believers, we're going to have all these people. And although that's okay, the call is that we would all grow up in Christ in more aspects of our life. Because if you observe it, sometimes you're the most mature parent in one area and a crying baby in another area. And what it is the Spirit hasn't worked that out in you. This is what we talked about. And so I asked you to kind of go home and reflect on this. Another thing that John had said in verse 29 is that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So it's this idea that it isn't like, well, I'm going to do the right things once I've arrived, and for now, I'll do the things that aren't right until I arrive. It's this idea, there's a practicing, which is the idea of doing or being or performing that. So doing the right things, making the right choices. And this should be something you want to do, not in order to get God's favor, but because you had God's favor. But then John sort of throws a wrench in this whole idea, because in the church, we tell you to do the right things. And so you go off in your power and try to do the right things. And although I really appreciate that trying, ultimately he said, if you want to be somebody who practices righteousness, then you've got to be born again to do that. And that anyone, right, inversely, anyone who's practicing righteousness is demonstrating that they've been reborn. Anyone who's been reborn should really be demonstrating and practicing righteousness. Once again, it's troublesome, right? First of all, I'm acting like a baby. Second of all, I'm not doing the right things, yet I'm saying I belong to God. So those two things in themselves should trouble those of us who call Jesus Lord and should challenge us to say, wow, okay. One, do I really believe? Two, if I do, why am I not walking in righteousness? Why am I not surrendering to God? So the parking lot in which God's asked me to do donuts on with you guys for a little while is this parking lot of a word I'll call, it's translated regeneration. And I won't say the Greek version of it because I'll butcher it right now. I did last week. But it's two words put together, and it's this idea of birth and again. Again birth is the order in which they put it, which means, you know, to be born again, again to be born, and not born physically, but born spiritually. And so you can see that, right? Observe, if you observe the reality, it's got to line up with truth. It can't just be your feelings. But if you only look at truth and never apply that to your life, it doesn't transform. So apply this. If you can profess Jesus as Savior, right? If you can be part of the little children, the students of God, yet still be a child in your faith. If you can be a believer, right, in Jesus and still, right, not be walking in righteousness, then what's happening is there's a failure to grow and a failure to grow up. And maybe some bad teaching in there. And so as I ask God, okay, this is confusing. Once again, it's the water hose, but if we don't put this out there, we can't build on it. What's happening is I love everyone here to face that reality. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? And then you're like, yeah, okay. Are you practicing righteousness? Are you acting like a spiritual parent? Are you doing right things and saying right things? Well, not always. Okay, then you're still growing, right? And so what Paul was writing in the letter to Titus, which is where this word regeneration is coming from, he also says it this way. He says, the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So see, my observation, guys, here's the problem. My observation is to be reborn seems like an instantaneous thing. Boom, you're born, right? But then I see over time, you don't just get baptized and come up perfect. And if we leave it at that, then here's what I'm leaving you guys to do as the one who's teaching you this. I'm telling you, okay, I'm telling you, now that you're saved, right? You said this prayer, did this thing, got baptized, you shouldn't have any issues with this. Okay? But you do. So what's your response? One, say, something's wrong, right? Something's wrong with me. So I'm out. And I see something's wrong with you, so I don't want to be around you, a bunch of hypocrites. And they leave church. They try to follow their God on their own. Right? Or they stay here and they fake it. Which one's more damaging? I don't know. Which kind of bomb you want dropped on your head? They're both damaging, right? Like, okay, what truck do you want to get hit by? They're both hurtful. And so that's what God is calling me to do, is to preach this truth to you, even when it's uncomfortable, and push you at least to make a decision about this, one way or the other. But what I see here, what's beautiful about this is, yes, you know, Brandon, like, being reborn is an instantaneous thing. Well, then how is you being washed, right? It's just that washing again and again with a reborn, a one-time thing. Well, here's what it is. He puts it beautiful. It's the washing of regeneration, rebirth, and the renewal, to be renewed and refilled and restored of the Holy Spirit. And so what's happening to you is, yes, there is a rebirth, a one thing, but there's a rebirth for your life. And so it comes after part by part, by washing, renewing, making new, making new, making new. And so what it looks like is, in this, you're like, wow, that dude's a ninja master. She was like, did you hear what came out of her mouth? That was some crazy wisdom. Why? Because she's become a new creation in that part of her life. But in this part of their life, wow, it's like a kid crying at the candy store. How could that be from the same person? But Pastor Will said, I said that prayer, so this should be gone, and I should always act like this, like the mature person. So what they do is they fake it here or hide it, so then you get to know them over time, and you realize, wow, what a baby, right? And they realize this about you, what a baby you are, Will, in this area. So what we need to do, and we're sharing the word with you, is, guys, listen, You don't stop being reborn, right? Renewed. The washing, continual washing and renewal and the rebirth of the Holy Spirit over parts of your life. And I know it's confusing. It's hard to understand. It's not just us. Do you guys remember a dude in the Bible named Nicodemus? Well, what do we know about Nicodemus? A Pharisee. A teacher. A well-respected teacher, right? So he had come to Jesus at night, and there's lots of opinions about what's going on. But here Jesus is. He's not part of their class, but he is teaching. He's doing all these things. So Nicodemus comes at night, and this is recorded in the Gospel of John. John 3:3-6, if you have your Bible in front of you or you're making notes. So he comes to see him, and I'm gonna let you in on the scene here. So here we go. Jesus responded, verse 3, and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you," talking to Nicodemus, "unless someone is born again," there's that phrase, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a person be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh, and that which has been born of the Spirit is spirit." Wow, so what's going on with that? If you read what other people think about this, which is what we typically do, right? Even me. Okay, what do you guys think this? This says some opinions is he's being a snot, right? He's been a brat. He's like, "I'm so smart and you don't know as much as I do, so I'm going to trap you." Other parts of it is he has great, other people believe that he has great respect for Jesus, and as a rabbi to another rabbi, he knows that stories and metaphors are a great teaching tool. And so he's like, "Okay, we'll play. I'm a teacher, you're a teacher, you throw this metaphor, now let me bring this back to you. So I got to be born again? How can an old man like me re-enter his mother's womb and be born again?" Right? Well, and then Jesus brings it back. Right? He says, "Truly, truly, twice truly, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Unless someone's born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Well, that leads me to ask another question. Born of water and the Spirit, what's that mean? Well, there's like a sermon series in itself probably, right? Lots of opinions. But I think a lot of what I see and read would point back to this. So Ezekiel, right, a prophet, recording what we call the Old Testament. I mean, what's that like? Probably like 600 years or so before Jesus. So Ezekiel writes this, Ezekiel 36, 25, and 26. Listen to what he says. This is God speaking through him. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone and from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Do you catch that? There are a couple of really cool things. First of all, he doesn't just like repair the heart that's got a crack in it. He gives you a new one. The other cool thing is he sprinkles you, taking away, right? The metaphor is all the sin and the gross things that we do. We don't realize the blemishes we're creating on our soul. And they need to be cleansed. It's like, you know, going to eat Mexican food and you just like, the salsa always ends up on your shirt or your pants. Right? Or your arm, right? And unless you have small children to blame, then it's embarrassing. Right? Yeah. So that's how that works. You got to get it off. You got to shout it off. But there's no shout for the sin stain until Jesus. And so Jesus came, and that's what it's like. The promise is like, God's like, "Listen, I'm going to cleanse you from all the stuff that got on you. And that world is going to harden your heart like a stone. And I'm going to take that heart out and give you a heart of flesh. And not only that, I'm going to put my spirit in there. That way you can be aware of spiritual things. And only then will you walk in my statutes." So if you think you're going to walk in my statutes first without having my spirit, good luck. Or dream on, right? Like, that's not what's going to happen. And so that's what Jesus is saying. That's what I believe. When I read that, I'm like, wow, okay. Jesus is like, "Man, you want to see the kingdom of heaven? You want to see the kingdom of God? You're going to have to be reborn. You want to live in it, experience it, see it, believe it. You've got to be reborn, and it's this water and spirit. It's what Ezekiel was talking about, which Nicodemus would have known very well, right, by memory, and Jesus would have studied since he was a boy and was always quoting from. It's like, no, this is what I'm here to do. I'm bringing the promise of God to wash away all that stains you, to give you a new heart, to fill you with my spirit. And then I'm going to tell you things like, if you love me, do what I tell you to do. If I tell you that before I give you that new heart and my spirit, that's just mean. It's like taking your five-year-old and saying, okay, bench press 340 pounds, son. Mean, right? They can't do it. They don't have the power. So this idea, once again, I come back to that, the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So all this is done, and it's weird to teach, right? Because I should give you some kind of tool that you do to make this happen. But what I'm talking to you about today can only be done by one person, and that's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's that constant washing. It's not like, right, like I don't mean to make fun of anyone, but simply laying a hand on you, blowing you, praying for you, isn't going to change every one of the aspects of your life over time, right? That has to be the Holy Spirit's work. So the Holy Spirit's going to come in, and it says the Spirit gives you a new heart. The Spirit gives you a new heart. And unless someone is born of the water and Spirit, unless they get a new heart, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay, what's the kingdom of God? I'm glad you asked. Okay, this is what Jesus said. He answered this question. This is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. Once being asked by the Pharisees, right, our good friends the Pharisees, the religious folk, church leaders, when the kingdom of God would come, so they asked him, when would the kingdom of God come? You keep talking about this, when's it coming? Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Well, that's tiring, right? That's a great answer. Okay, you can't see it. Guys, I'm asking you to believe things that are really crazy, right? So we can't be on the fence anymore. We got to be honest about that. Either Jesus is nuts, like bat crap crazy, or he's the Son of God. And until we decide that, we can't go anywhere. Like, this is crazy stuff. I'm a king of a kingdom. Oh, well, where's your kingdom, buddy? You can't see it. Right? You can't see it. It can't be observed. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is in your midst. So what's that mean? What's midst mean to you guys? It's in you, right? It's this idea of being on the same platter as you. So it's like around you. That's how they would use that word. So it's like in you, around you, on you. It's like you bring the kingdom where you are. And it's in your midst now, right? It's not a future thing that's happening only. So therefore, follow this reason from the scripture. Well, let me ask you this. Would you like to be part of the kingdom of God? Okay. Would you like to be part of the kingdom of God now? I'm not asking to kill you, okay? I'm talking about the kingdom that comes now, where it's in your midst. It's present here. It's what John was saying in 1 John. He goes, guys, I know there's lots of darkness, but the light has already come. It's already come. He's come, it's here, it's present, but it's in our midst. It's existing at the same time in the same reality that we're in, right? But we're simply like a metaphor. We're like in this matrix. We don't even see the reality of what's going on. And so you have the existence of these two worlds. So we're asking Jesus, where's your kingdom? He goes, it's here, but you can't see it. And Heidi can't say, there it is. And Mike can't say, oh, here it is. However, now that Jesus came and he gave us the Holy Spirit, that washing and regenerating and renewing of us through the Holy Spirit changing us, it changes our eyes. It changes our eyes. We begin to see it. The Pharisee, they couldn't see it. They weren't filled with the Spirit. They weren't reborn. But anyone who's reborn can see the kingdom of God. Unless you've been reborn, you won't see and enter the kingdom of God, which although is unseen, is in our midst now. Okay, define that for me a little bit, Will. If it's in our midst now, the kingdom of God is in you, which means you have an opportunity, right? Let me give this an example for you. I was talking to some pastors this week, and they said, well, what happens when someone moves to your area, right? How do they know which churches exist? And this guy, he came from a different time, and he goes, well, maybe you should make a mailer, like a flyer, and send it to all the houses that have closed in the real estate market. Like, welcome to our town, come to my church. It's an idea, right? But then someone objected and said, I don't think you understand. Before these people physically come here, they move online. And I've seen this to be true. How many of you saw something about our church online or listened to a sermon before you ever walked through the door? Right? Yeah. I know it's happened, and you still didn't know better before you. But hey, God bless you. You're really on mission for coming today to put up with me, so I appreciate that. But that's the reality of this, is it's like even though you're physically not in the new kingdom that Jesus is building, because he's transformed your mind, you've entered it before. There's people online right now that are part of our church family but aren't here physically yet. And that's how this is. We become part of the kingdom of God. We carry it everywhere that we go. And it's only revealed to us through over time by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This is what God's been doing to me, guys. I've been in situations even this morning where I was like, I'm going to go do, and then God asked me this question. Is that what a dad would do? Oh. Right? Guys, it cut me. Here's what it asked me to do. As a dad, you turn on the lights when your kid's afraid of the dark, and you show them there's no monster in the closet or under the bed. After you do that sometime, in a frustrated night, you might just yell, there's no monster, go to bed, right? But if you started with that, that's not great for your kids' feeling of safety, right? You do the thing that isn't necessary because love demands it. That's what a parent does. I don't really like cleaning up, throw up, but love demands it. And so if you want to grow into parenthood, you have to start to see the kingdom of God. And this only happens because you're being renewed. And so if you're stuck in some area, it's like you just need the Holy Spirit to drown that thing. That area. You need him to drown it with truth. Drown it with the Spirit. Kill it and rebirth it in you. And if you want a new heart, if the heart is the inner self or the center of life, what makes up life? Because here's what I see, guys. When I look at the truth and I look at the experience, I can't just come to you and say, be reborn and everything's going to be fine. Although that's true, I want you to submit and stay still long enough that sanctification can happen. Because Jesus is the one that saves you in a minute from hell and saves you from yourself and from sin the rest of your life. So talk to me here. What a couple things. I need some volunteers. And then also I want some ideas. What makes up a life? Experience, okay. Yeah, so what's that? Trust. Trust, experience, these are all really good things. Do you ladies want to help me with something real quick here? Okay, come on, help me. Did someone put away my, never mind, I think they put, oh, I put it up here. Why don't you three ladies come on up here. So your experience, your life is made up of certain things, like let's just say, Ollie, come on over here. Second row, do some of you guys want to come be victims of this? So let's just come here. Let's say there's a part of your life that, your work, okay? Let's just say part of your life is whatever you've spent a lot of time with trying to support yourself and your family, your work, okay? Then there is, come on down this way. So then there's, then another part of your life is like relationships, right? So maybe you're married. If not, maybe you're a daughter or a son or a cousin or a brother or a friend or a roommate. Like there's relationships, okay? And then there is, what you do with your free time, right? What you do for enjoyment, what you do for entertainment. And then let's get a couple more volunteers too. And then let's say, okay, then every one of us are created with certain like physical needs. So how do we deal with that, right? How do we deal with our physical needs, our intimate and sexual issues? How do we deal with that? What do we do with like our money, right? What do we do with our money? How do we feel about ourselves in our body, right? This is all stuff that makes up our life. That's right. So now this is kind of the stuff that makes up a life. So for me to simply say, okay, your life is reborn, there's probably an entry into that. Because here's the hard part, watching these people grow up. And I love all, we're pretty much related, all of us right here, okay? So I know I can pick on them. I love watching them, but I'm aware of this. No matter how many words we say to them, how many prayers, some of these things, they're just going to have to figure out for themselves what? That life doesn't work. Life outside of God, life in this world, there's no money, right? There's no relationship. There's no sexual thing. There's no entertainment that does this. There's no, right, taking care of your body. You can be as buff as you want and be miserable, right? They're going to figure this out, and we're going to be the people to encourage them along the way. Just as I'm trying to figure things out at my age, and people who've already been through that understand. And they just say, oh, God bless his little soul, right? When they watch me struggle and strive. Because of that, one of these areas of your life, most of your stories, or if it hasn't happened to you, get ready, buckle up, it's about to happen. One of these areas is where God's going to enter. Like, really force you to make a decision. It could be relationship. It could be health, right? It could be finances. It could be employment. It could be your body. Like, he's going to enter in. And what happens is that initial rebirth usually starts in one of those areas. This is true, and this is observation together. So let's just say, okay, we're talking about your physicality, right? Man, get cancer. That'll cause you to question something. Doesn't matter how old you are. So that comes, hits here. No matter what you were doing in the world, it hits your life at this point. And I'll tell you, the first thing to change will be this. It'll change. But all this might not. Maybe your money changes a little bit because you just want to live and you don't care what your job is anymore, right? You quit your job, so God changes that too. But there's other parts of your life that hasn't changed yet. So when pastor's like, be reborn and it's all different. Okay, yes, you have an opportunity, an identity to be reborn, to be a new creation, but you too can turn back around. But you're being transformed over time. And that's what I love about what Paul's writing in Titus, because I think he found this reality. He found that if the Holy Spirit, right? If the Holy Spirit like surrounds you, then it comes into your life and it enters somewhere. But what it does, it just keeps going, man. And pretty soon it like changes everything over your life one by one, right? And then you come out and you look different. You look different. And maybe it enters a different place and then comes over, right? But here's what we do is it enters in. It enters in, right, like it enters in, let's see, what did I say with your relationships? Yeah. Work. Yeah, so it enters in with your work and it changes that, but then you're like, okay, I'm good now, and you stop it. The crazy thing about the Holy Spirit, he's such a gentleman. When you say stop, he stops. So what makes up a life? It's all these things. And so in that, you might be somebody that through their work, God is just given them revelation and maturity, where when you're with them about their work, you're like, wow, that's a lot of wisdom. That's been touched by the Holy Spirit. But then their relationships are a mess, right? And so I think in the community of believers, one, we got to be honest about this process, and two, we've got to be there for each other, and we got to be honest. Well, give them a hand. Thank you guys for coming. Now, purely observatory, right? We as people, in our own wisdom, observe each other. And we come up with medicine, science, philosophy, leadership, opinions, and I pray that all those things are led by God. I really hope that they are. They're not always. But one thing that's observed, if you start to study the psychology of people, and the person's growth and development from becoming a child to a parent. And I think, and I'm telling you, I'm presenting to you that it's the same spiritually. That when certain injury happens to that child, emotionally and spiritually, there's something that happens that they might call a young place, a break, a brokenness, a chasm, an immature thing. And so this is what we observe in ourselves, is like, in this area, I seem to be very mature and very stable. And in this area, I'm all over the place. And so what we do in our own wisdom is we try to counsel people, okay, where's the injury happen? And can we bring our adult eyes and ears and heart to that young place? And hopefully rewrite history in our mind, and then it seems to free us to grow. But spiritually we get broken and fractured as well. And spiritually we don't grow as well when we take on these wounds. And so as you get to watch people like I do and get in their lives, God grows in compassion, because you'll know a little bit of their story and you'll see, oh, that happened to them. So I see why in this part of their life, it hasn't grown up like the other parts. And so that's what I see, this washing and renewal and regeneration through the Holy Spirit. And that's the prayer, like, Lord, just come, just bring that to that area. Like, bring that to that area. And so another little picture for you is if our physicality and the world we live in is often images and shadows of spiritual truths, I found another one. Broken and fractured bones. It's really small print so that you don't have to read it all, but I want to make sure I cover it, because I'm not a doctor, no matter how much I pretend, Brandon. You know, I'm not. It's fractured and broken bones. Do you know what happens with that? So studying it, interesting enough, as soon as a fracture happens, what happens is the cells in the bone marrow, they basically send out a call to the other cells in the body for help, because they need help to heal what's been broken. And so as all those cells rush in, what happens? Swelling. Right? You're right. But the first step is inflammation or swelling. It comes there. It protects the area. The cells come for healing. It starts the healing process, the inflammation. Interesting enough, while it's swelling on the outside, it looks unpleasant. Could be discolored, right, misshaped. Inside, the bone and the blood from the fracture and other cells are healing the broken bones and working to form what they're calling a soft callus. And that's why they cast it up for you, because there's a soft callus. And what it's doing is it's bridging the two parts of the bones that are broken. Now, over time, the callus is protecting it, the cells are working. Once the soft callus is in place, the osteoblasts, which are the cells that act like construction workers of the body to build up the bone, get to work and they start putting calcium, other minerals, into the callus, which turns it into real hard bone. In your body, when something breaks, it doesn't get repaired. It doesn't get bandaged, it gets new. It gets new. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for giving us such great pictures, because you just said it. How long did you have to wait when you had your broken bone? 4 to 6 weeks. If only your life to get healed took only 4 to 6 weeks. That'd be nice, right? But it won't happen. So these broken things, these hurts, these blemishes, God doesn't just put a Band-Aid on it. God doesn't just say, rub some dirt on it, you'll be fine, son. He gives you a new one. So if I want to grow spiritually, if I want my desires to change, if I want to practice righteousness, if I want to have a new start, if I want to be cleansed from all that I've done, and all that others have done to me, that have tarnished my soul and broke my heart. I must surrender to the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Well, the question is, what does that look like? I guess you should be asking and I should be asking. Yeah, how's that work? How's it work? I think a lot of it, since the Holy Spirit does it, I don't do it as the pastor. Your friends don't do it. Your spouse doesn't do it. The Holy Spirit does it. What I've learned, guys, not that there's a perfect formula, but the first step is this. The first step is always surrender. Well, where do you get that idea? It's all over the scripture, but I, the Lord keeps taking me back, right? The Spirit keeps taking me back to that story of the prodigal son. So I keep mentioning this to you, and it's a parable given to by Jesus, and the idea is there's two sons, and one wants to go the way of the world and ask for his inheritance early. And he goes off and does all the things his dad would not want him to do, like immoral things, not right things. He blows all his inheritance. Meanwhile, the other son stays, and he does all the right things, works for his father. Well, the prodigal, the son who went away, he realizes all that life had to offer was empty and didn't work. He found himself like sleeping with the pigs and eating the food that they got. And so the story talks about him going home. Maybe if I go home and just be my dad's servant instead of theirs, it would be better than this. And so there's no mention of like a telegram, right, or a text message, because they didn't have that, to tell his dad he's coming home. He simply stops what he's doing, stops it. Goes a different direction and starts walking home. And it tells us in this parable, that as he approached the house, his father saw him. And when he got close, he like ran up to him. He didn't interrogate him. He just hugged him and planted a kiss on him and threw a party because his son was home. And what God showed me is that dad had no idea the terms of his return. He had no idea maybe who was going to be joining him down the road a little farther. He had no idea if his son was just coming home to ask for more money. But the simple fact that his son had returned, changed his direction and returned and surrendered, came to him humbly, that's all he needed to know. And I really believe that Jesus gave us that story, probably a million reasons between the moment he said it to now. But that was another reason, because if you want these things, and you do want these things, this practicing righteousness and this new start and this forgiveness, I mean, they're available to you, and you can't do it on your own. Like, that's why you needed a Savior. If you could swim out of it yourself, you would have. I would have. What your job is, surrender and obey. So here's what, no games, no surprises. Like, I wonder, as we're talking about this and we're approaching Resurrection Sunday, and see, that's it. Your hope is Jesus raised from the dead so he can bring back to life any part of your life that's dead, that's broken. And not like band-aid it. I'm talking put a soft callus on it, send the minerals and the calcium and give you a new life in that area. A new life in your work, in your health, in your relationships. And maybe he won't take every physical ailment away from you, but he'll give you joy in the midst of it. And so what we do is surrender. And so now is a time, guys. Not for liturgy, not for tradition, but because I think some of us got to do something about this, and that doing something is surrendering. So that's what I want to do. They're going to play a song. It's an awesome reflective song. And you and I, we have an opportunity to surrender this part of our life that we haven't let the Holy Spirit wash and renew, inviting the Holy Spirit to rebirth us, to bore us again in that area and transform us as a new creation. And maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you did something like some kind of prayer, but you never did that before. You've got to do that. So if you've never done that before and you feel at your core, at your center, at your heart, that you need to do that, would you come see me or would you come see Randy and Sandy in the back? And we could just pray with you. We could celebrate with you. And if you want, we could even get in the hot tub with you next week. And maybe it's just that. Maybe it's like, oh, man, I believe, but I won't do the very first thing God asked me to do, which is, you know, be saved, repent, be baptized. I haven't been baptized, and I need to do that because this new life, if I want Jesus to keep continuing, I mean, how can you stop the healing process of a broken bone? How do you stop that? Well, but how do you impede that, I should say? Re-break it, right? I broke my leg. I'm not going to wait the 6 to 8 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, whatever they tell you. I'm going to start cliff jumping again, okay? Like, I'm going to start doing that. You land on the thing that's trying to get healed, and you sabotage the healing process. And so when we're not obedient to God, we sabotage the healing process. So you got tons of people who are little children who God's like, I love you and I see you, but you're acting like a baby because you won't stop sabotaging what I'm trying to do. So I'm sure there's people here who have been sabotaging what God's trying to do. And so now, I mean, you don't even have to come to me. Just come before God and say, oh, I've been sabotaging it. And I just surrender and ask you to bring healing and new life and new birth to that area of my life. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm going to ask Linda to come down with the lights. I'm just going to start in prayer. I won't even say amen. And then when Ross feels appropriate, we'll just go into music. I'll be here. They'll be there in the back. As you hand this down, an awesome thing to do would be to go to the table with Jesus and celebrate his blood and his body that saved you. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word that's alive. Thank you for your love that has no end. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your power and your glory and your goodness. So Jesus, I just lift up everyone in this room that you've brought here. I know you've entrusted me with their time and with their thoughts, with their soul. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just have your way. Whatever it is they need to do. Maybe it's surrender. Maybe it's obedience. You just tell them, Lord. We'll just join them in prayer, lifting them up, celebrating what you're doing. Lord, please come. Wash over us. Wash, renew, regenerate us, piece by piece, in Jesus' name.